That is John chapter 15, verse 11. Okay, so Jesus, I jumped right in here in the middle of Jesus teaching to his disciples. He's about to go to the cross, and in this particular section, this chapter here, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Well, what things did he speak? Well, so let's back up to, if you look in your Bible, if you have the red letter edition, most of us, all of us probably do. If you look, you see that he's been saying a lot of things to his disciples. But let's just begin with the first verse. He's probably referring to most everything he has said as he's teaching them. But let's begin with the first verse in chapter 15 when we're looking at the things that Jesus has said to his disciples and the reason he said them. He gives the reason in verse 11. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Why? Number one, that my joy might remain in you. Secondly, and that your joy might be full. So Jesus is saying, brethren, I've been telling you certain things that you might, in a nutshell, have joy, my joy, and that you will have fullness of joy, and that it will remain in you, that you'll have joy day in and day out, in sickness and in health, in good times, in bad, that you'll have joy. What words did Jesus say that would bring joy to us, lasting joy to us? Well, a lot of, if not all of what he has said, beginning in this discourse. But we're going to look at just beginning at verse 1 in this chapter this morning, God willing. As I begin reading, I am the true vine. Jesus begins teaching about himself. As we begin reading this, bear in mind, brethren, that Jesus is going to say, I'm saying these things that you might have joy. Okay? I want joy. Do you? I love joy. I love to be happy. I want to be a joyful person. So let's read the words of Jesus because the Son of God, the perfect, holy, sinless Son of God who cannot lie or make a mistake, he says, I've said these things that you might have joy. All right, well, let's hear them. Chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus is teaching about himself. He's teaching his people that he's about to die for, that he's going to redeem. He's going to wash them in his blood. He's going to offer himself without spot to God in their behalf. He says to those people, you and me today, and to the 11 apostles and disciples at this moment that John's recording, he says, I am the true vine. Jesus spoke in metaphors so often. He's describing himself as a vine. Not just a vine, but the vine. And not just the vine, but the true vine. I love this scripture for a lot of reasons. Not the least of which is, I like vines, certain kinds of vines. You know, there's more than one kind of vine. There are good vines and bad vines. There are true vines and false vines in Scripture. Vines. But when I read, I am the true vine, a vision just comes into my mind of a beautiful, flourishing grapevine. I went to Harvey's a few days ago, the grocery store. I'd have gone to Publix if we'd had one, Brother Walter, close by. Brother Walter works at Publix, y'all. Been there for years. I went to Harvey's, and I saw I was headed to my mama's, and I needed to get some groceries. And I saw in the fruit display a cup just mounded up of bronze-colored circular fruit. And my mouth just almost began watering when I saw it. And I think, I know where, I looked closer. I said, well, I wonder where those came from. What vines those came from. So I got up closer and it said on it, Palk Vineyards. Right down the road, just through the woods as the crow flies, 5, 6, 7 miles maybe. I've been out there. Maybe you've been there. Maybe we've all been to a vineyard, haven't we? We've all been to a vineyard. I love to see a vine growing on a runner, a trellis, a brace, and just flourishing with green leaves and bountiful fruit. I love to see it. And that vision comes into my mind when I read, I am the true vine. Jesus likens himself to a flourishing vine. And he says, my Father is the husbandman. That's the vine dresser or the keeper or the owner or the master of the vineyard. My Father is the husbandman. God, brethren, in a sense, he planted Jesus. Now, you got God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those three are one. They're a co-equal, co-eternal. One didn't generate the other. They've always been. Now, finite minds like mine have trouble understanding that. But God didn't generate Jesus as I might generate a son. They've always been. But in the to help us understand the relationship of us to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the coming of Jesus into the world, the Word being made flesh and dwelling among us, God, in a sense, planted Jesus in his human nature, his human being, to come and be with us. That, in a sense, helps me understand he's the husbandman. He planted that vine, so to speak, and Jesus is the true vine. About a year or two ago, Brother AJ was out front. We men were standing around. And if you go out this morning, when you go out the front door, if you'll look to the left, there's a landscape plant there, some kind of a shrub. It's the biggest one on your left. They're kind of matching. There's one on each side. And the one on the left, brethren, there's a beautiful shrub there. But you know what? There's a vine in that shrub, growing up in that shrub, and it's covering that shrub. It kind of takes away from the appearance of the shrub. And so a year or so ago, maybe 2 years, I don't know how long ago it was, but we were standing out there. I don't know if it was before church one day or we were having a yard cleanup. I can't remember the occasion. But Brother AJ, he got down on the dirt on his hands and knees and he reached up under that shrub and he began to pull out these bulb-looking tuber type things. And when he would pull it, the vine would have, it was a bulb and the vine had grown up in the shrub there. And Brother AJ, I love you, but brother, you didn't get them all. You know it, don't you? You know it. He pulled out several. He pulled out several. And none of us helped him. We cheered him on, but we didn't get down there with him. But that is a false vine. It doesn't bear fruit. It takes away. It distracts. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Those grapes in Harvey's the other day, brethren, they came from a true vine, so to speak. A cultivated vine, a vine that was planted and flourished and grew and began to produce fruit and did produce fruit. And the husbandmen, the Palks, whoever they are, they're reaping the benefits of it because their vines are bearing fruit. And so Jesus uses that setting, that agricultural situation to teach us, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus is nothing but true. There's no falsity in him. There's no impurity in him. He's it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, doctrine. This is doctrine, brethren, right here. Right? All scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for several things, not the least of which is doctrine. Here's some doctrine for you. Jesus is the true vine. His Father is the husbandman. There are branches in that vine, brethren. And that's us. That's us. Every branch in me, he begins to describe branches in him. So of necessity, there are branches in Christ. And that's us. And we get in Christ, brethren, by the work of God's Holy Spirit. He regenerates us and makes us a part of the family of God. It's all a combination of works. We're chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. God chose us in Christ. Christ came to die for us. The Holy Spirit regenerates us and teaches us. It's all the work. But here it says, we are in Christ. And we get in Christ, brethren, through the work of God and none other. Every branch in me, the vine grows up, and off from that vine come shoots. If you read I read an agricultural pamphlet one time about grapes and growing grapes and pruning grapes and fertilizing grapes, and it referred to the branches as canes. That was the term the author of that little pamphlet used. So it can be a branch, it can be a cane, a sprout, whatever you want to call it, but there are branches coming from that true vine, brethren, and that's us. Every branch in me, Jesus begins to tell us, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now let me say this, brethren. Romans, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans says, nothing can separate us who are in Christ from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Not life, not death, not good things in our life, not bad things. Nothing, height, depth, any other creature, Paul says, can separate us. He's speaking eternally. Nothing. If you are in Christ at this moment, brethren, or at any time in your life, you will never be separated from the love of God or Christ in an eternal sense. You are heaven bound. But can you be separated while you live here? Yes, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Remember, don't forget, brethren, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Not pleasant to be taken to the woodshed, not pleasant to be taken away. When I was a child, my daddy, he would take me away sometimes. He would take me aside and spank me or discipline me. And he wasn't one to take me away from the eyes of the others around. If I needed a whipping, I got it right in front of everybody. But some parents will take their child to another and say, excuse us, please. Some parents will take their children out the door of the church, won't they? And we know what's happening out there, and then they bring them back in. Not fun to be taken away, brethren, but in the long run, you know what? Produces joy. Produces a fellowship with our parent. And when God has to take us away for a while, the end result is joy, because he does it to bring us back into fellowship. And he also, brethren, he prunes us. He purges us. Grapevines, according to the agricultural pamphlet, need to be pruned every season. After they bear and the leaves fall off, the husbandman comes along and he begins to prune, and take away. But he leaves some branch there. He leaves some. And I see in this, there are things, brethren, that God needs to, from time to time, he says, you don't need that in your life. I'm going to take that away from your life. You don't need that. It's causing you to, it's hurting the fruit here. You're going to bring forth more fruit if I do this to you and for you. Verse 3. Jesus speaks doctrinally here about the condition of these 11 and our condition. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus has spoken to them that he's going to the cross, that he's going to die, he's going to shed his blood, and he's going to clean us up. He's going to wash away every sin, and he is going to pronounce us clean, justified before God. That's our state. And he says that about his disciples in his day, those 11 men that he was talking to, and he says that about us. We are clean, and we are clean only by and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And once he shed his blood for us, we are pronounced clean. Clean. The word we get is clean. Verse 4. Remember, These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain, my joy might remain, and that your joy might be full. How's it going to be? How are we going to be joyful? Verse 4, abide in me. That's day by day, brethren. We studied this morning in Bible study about the broad way and the straight way. The straight way leads to life, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. And the broad way leads to destruction. Abide in the straight way that leads to life. Abide in Christ. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. I looked up the word abide in my concordance. I looked up the Greek term abide. And it's translated to stay, to continue, to dwell. Dwell in Christ. Stay in Christ. Stay with Him. And He says, and I in you. It's a reciprocal thing. It's a constant thing. We stay in Christ, He stays in us. We stay in Christ, He stays in us. This is a day-by-day thing. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch, the cane, the shoot cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I would not think of going out to the grapevine that's in our backyard at Jan's house and finding a branch that has little grapes on it and severing that from the vine and say, well, those grapes will mature here in another month. I'll have me some grapes. I'm going to bring this branch that I cut off inside and put it on the table. It'll do nothing but die, won't it? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I cannot bear fruit unless I'm sticking with, staying with, abiding with, walking with, obeying Christ. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Verse 5. How much plainer can you get than that? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, severed from me, separated from me, ye can do nothing. Brethren, that ought to teach us to stay very, very close to Jesus. That ought to teach us to stay in the Word. That ought to teach us to walk in the way that He commands. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Right? You've all cut vines before. I bet you every one of us have. We've all pulled weeds. We've all cut down what we don't want there. If we cut it forth, it withers. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. That's just a lesson from nature there. But please don't stop and think about lessons from nature. Think about your spiritual well-being. If we don't abide in Christ, brethren, we wither. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Being burned hurts, brethren, doesn't it? Burn your finger on the stove or on the fire. Hurts. It ought to be a reminder. Stay close to Christ. Abide in Him. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now that verse, I want to spend a little bit of time on it, brethren. Jesus gives a declaratory statement here. He declares, if you will abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done. Now, is it that simple? I have meditated on this verse a lot, and here's my conclusion. I share it with you. I pray that I'm rightly dividing the Word of God here. If you abide in me, what is abiding? Staying in Christ, walking day by day with Him, continuing in Him, dwelling in Him, making Him the center of my affections, making Him the center of my attention, reading His Word, obeying it, putting it into practice. That's abiding in Jesus. If my words abide in you If I read the Sermon on the Mount and I do what he says in there, if I hunger and thirst after righteousness, if I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake, if I'm loving my neighbor, if I'm loving my enemy, if I'm loving my brother and sister in Christ, if I'm doing what he says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now that's quite a promise, isn't it? You know what I think I figured out? I think I'm right in this. I found out if I'm abiding in Christ, if I'm walking with him, if I'm doing what he says to do, if I'm setting my affections on things above, if I want Jesus' will done in my life, if I want to be more like the Savior, more like the Master, if I'm abiding in him, brethren, what I ask is going to be a lot different than what I ask if I'm setting my affections on things of this world and my thoughts are centered on things of the world. Do you agree with me? It's going to be different what I ask. I'm going to ask God, if I'm abiding in him, I'm going to say, Lord, let me be more like you. Lord, let me be kinder. Let me love more. Let me be humble. Let me humble myself before you. Let me, Lord, live without the things that come in and become idols that come between you and me. Brethren, a man or a woman that's asking for those things, he's going to get his prayer answered. God's going to say, yeah, okay. You ask him for that, whatever you ask in that vein, I'm going to grant it. It'll be done for you. I may say, Lord, I'm concerned about this place on my right temple. Let it not be some kind of malignant cancer. Let me not have to have surgery again. Have another skin graft up here. He may say yes, he may say no. But you know what I'm going to finish that prayer with? I'm going to say, nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. And when you say that, brethren, God can't help but answer that, can he? When we say, not my will, but thine be done, the answer is going to be, okay, done. It may be that he says, okay, I'm going to allow your will to be done in this case. But he may say, no, it's going to be my will this time. That's not my will that this happened. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And things in your life you don't know the answer to yet. You don't know. But brethren, when you're abiding with Christ, number one, you are going to ask for things differently, different things than you would if you're not abiding with him. And he's apt, brethren, to say, okay, done. The next thing is, there are some things that you ask for, and he may say, no, not your will in that, but mine be done. But I will have already said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, if you're living at the foot of the cross, brother, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And that, brethren, you can have joy, even if the Lord says, nope, it's not going to turn out the way you're asking there, but you can be reconciled to the will of God. You can be joyful in it. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy, my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. You want to give glory to God, don't you? You want God to be glorified in your life, don't you? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. A husbandman, he likes nothing better, I bet you, than to go out there and see the vine and see the grapes in clusters hanging on that vine. He loves that his vines are bearing fruit. Brethren, God gets honor and glory when we produce the kind of fruit we ought to be producing. Good works, love for one another. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. It will be manifest that we are God's disciples, Jesus' disciples. As my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You want to know how to have joy? You want to know how to abide in Christ? Keep my commandments. You see, brethren, you know, I discovered that there's more to serving God than me showing up here on Sunday and preaching and going home and living my life the way I want to the rest of the week. I need to learn the commandments of God, not just the Ten Commandments, brethren. I need to learn what Jesus says, if you keep my commandments. He's got commandments. If I keep them, that is to say, brethren, put them into practice. Don't be passive all the time. Be active. Keep my commandments. If you do that, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11. Now we're back, brethren, to where we started. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Remain in you, meaning day by day by day, as you do what you need to be doing, as I do what I need to be doing, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Years ago, I was at another church. I was filling in, supplying. It was in 2014, it looks like, in my Bible I wrote down. And I think I did this. I know I thought about doing it, and I was going to do it today, but yesterday was very hectic for me. I was going to go out a couple of days ago and cut a branch off the vine in Jan's backyard. And then this morning, I was going to get her to go out and cut me one and put it in a glass of water, a jar of water. And I was going to set them down here behind the pulpit so y'all couldn't see them. And then as in this lesson, I was going to hold them up. I was going to hold the brown, withered one up. Then I was going to hold the green, flourishing one up. I say, which one? Which one you want to be? Which one are you? Ask you. I was going to ask myself. You see what happens when you're severed from God, from Christ. You're severed. You wither. You wither and you're apt to be burned. Over here you flourish. You produce fruit, the green vine. Visualize them, because I didn't get them cut. But you know what I'm talking about. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. You remain green, verdant, flourishing, fruit-bearing, and that your joy might be full, that God would be honored and glorified, and that you would be joyful. The way to do it, brethren, is to keep my commandments, as Jesus said, abiding in his love. Oh, brethren, I hope that you and I will bear fruit like we ought to. I hope we will. It won't just happen. You got to make it happen, brethren. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. You got to be in him, and you got to be working to do it. And if you do, God will be glorified, and Christ's joy will remain in you. I pray, oh Father, that I will, and that these dearly beloved believers here will do the same. We'll abide in you, oh God. That we'll flourish. We'll produce fruit to your honor and glory and to our joy. Oh Lord, give us the grace to do it. The zeal to do it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 God bless it. Preaching, I pray I rightly divided the word of God. I pray that we'll think on these things. I pray that God will get glory from it. If you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. If you want to serve Him here with the people, produce fruit in here with us. Come forward as we stand and sing in this hymn. You'll be received anyway the gospel authorizes you.